things before we start into the message this morning. First of all, I just apologize for my cold, and so I'm hopefully be able to get through this without having a coughing attack, and so pray for that. And but anyway, I just wanted to, before we get started, something's coming up this summer that I wanted to just give a plug to because it's important. I think it'll be a great night for us. It's on the 30th of June. We're trying to make this the fifth Sunday, kind of a routine at least three times a year to have what we're going to call this one the Summer Worship Festival. And so it's an opportunity for all of us to come back on a Sunday night, relaxed, and just enjoy some great music, whether it's hymns or whether it's contemporary worship songs, whether it's specials or some testimonies. It'll just be a great night. If you enjoy singing, you enjoy listening to others who can sing, then this will be a good opportunity for you. And there's an insert in your bulletin, and we just would love to have to know whether or not you want to be part of that, whether you want to be part of a choir or whether you play an instrument or something like that, and then you can go through a process of getting involved in that night. We would love to have you consider that and pray about that. And as of right now, we don't have very many people that have signed up for this, so we're hoping that it's something of interest, and I just wanted to mention it again today and have you fill these out because it's coming up pretty quickly. June 30th is not that far off, and it'll be from 6 o'clock to 7:30 in the evening, so just wanted to let you know that. Pastor Jeff started last week with this discussion that we're having kind of on the mission that we're all trying to be all about here at First Church of God. And if you've noticed out on the wall out there, there's three big words: seek, grow, and love. And there's some other words there and a passage mentioned there out of Matthew. And so as a church, if we have the mission as a community of Christ followers of reaching the lost, helping those who come to faith grow in their faith, and then loving one another, we believe that this is a formula for us to be able to do exactly what God has called us to do. That way we keep what's important to us, seeking the lost, growing disciples, and loving everyone out there in front of all of us all the time. And Pastor Jeff started us out last week by talking about seeking the lost in love. And today we're going to discuss this, the concept or the process of growing or making disciples. And so we're going to get into that in just a moment. But before we do, would you bow with me in prayer? Father, I come to you right now and I just ask you, Lord, to speak your words. These are not things that necessarily just my beliefs or my opinions. These are things that are based upon what you tell us in your word. I pray, Lord, as we read your word, as we look at these passages this morning, that we will be able to apply them to our life. And I pray, Lord, that each one of us will have the desire to both grow in Christ ourselves and then be involved in the process of helping to make disciples as well. For I ask all these things, Father. The first passage we're going to look at is kind of the passage that tells all of us kind of our marching orders that was left for us, that Christ left for us to do. And it's a passage I'm sure you've heard about before. It's the Great Commission. It says, "Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, 'All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me.'" And then he follows up with that word again, "therefore," because all authority has been given to him. "Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you, and surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." That is what we should be about. As a church, we should be about making disciples, reaching the lost, like Jeff talked about last week, and then making disciples as they come into us. And, you know, this message today is going to, on your insert, you can see there, you can take some notes, it's going to be a series of questions. Questions that I propose to you, questions that I would propose to myself. And we're going to look at these questions and we're going to talk about some things that go answers to these questions. It's not all inclusive. There's other answers, there's other things. I couldn't cover everything today, but I wanted to just pull out some highlights of some of the things that we need to be doing as a church, as well as sharing some of the things that we're already doing, what we're involved in, and where we're headed toward, just to kind of give you some information on that as well. But the first question is, what happens to a church who is on mission to seek the lost in love, like Pastor Jeff spoke about last week? If we're a church that really is concerned about that, then what's going to happen is that people will come to Christ and to his saving grace. If every one of us makes that important in our life to go out and to try to reach the world the best we can so that God can save them from their sins and give them eternal life, then obviously people are going to come to Christ, and they're going to be willing then hopefully and able to start the process of learning how to be a disciple themselves. So people will come to Christ and his saving grace if that's the kind of church we choose to be. Also, the universal church will grow. And what I mean by that is that you may plant a seed with someone you work with or your neighbor or someone you're in school with or whatever it may be. You may plant a seed about Jesus. And they may say, yeah, okay. And then nothing happens. But 5 years, 10 years down the road, something might happen in their life which causes them to go back to that what seed that you planted, and all of a sudden things take off for them. And they decide that they accept Christ as their Savior, and they get plugged into a church. So a church somewhere will grow because of the mission that we had to seek the lost. But also, church here, right here at First Church of God, will grow if we really believe in seeking the lost. Because what will happen? The same thing. You'll go out and you'll talk to people about Christ. They're going to see your life. That's the best thing you can say about Jesus, is the way you live your life. They're going to see that. You're going to talk to them. You're going to share the gospel, the good news. And then they're going to ask that question. So what caused you to change? Or what caused you to be where you are today? And one of the answers may be, well, my church helped me to grow. Well, where is that? Well, it's the First Church of God in La Porte. And they said, well, I think I'm going to come and try and visit that church. So this church will grow because of our mission to seek the lost. But the end result is that more disciples will be trained to take the mission to the world. And it's something that just is going to go on and on and on. People will come, they will be disciples, they will go out, and they will seek the lost. What happens to a church that is growing out of this kind of love and obedience is that God will continue to send people here. You know, we look at growth, and if you look around the room, you know that over the last 3 to 5 years, you know the growth. God will continue to send folks to us if we are truly a church with the mission to seek the lost. God will continue to send people our way. And the church needs to be ready to handle those brand new believers and help them in the road to their discipleship. So we as a church need to be prepared for that. We need to look at it as an opportunity to help someone come along in their process of life as far as their spiritual life goes. The next thing is, what are some opportunities and challenges to that kind of church growth? Because I think all of you know there's opportunities and challenges that come with church growth. I'm going to break it down into two categories this morning. One is an attitude of growth. That's us having the right attitude toward growth. And the second one is the resources needed to handle the growth. So when we look at this attitude of growth, do we truly have an attitude where we just want to seek out those who are lost? Do we really look around us in our life, the people we work with, the people we meet every day, that maybe do not know Jesus? Do we have a love for them enough that we want to present the gospel to them both in our words and in our actions and in the way we live? We need to have a love for doing that. It needs to be important to us. We also need to desire to reach this community in love. And you do that in a lot of ways, but mostly in action. The way we're going to reach this community is by being out in the community. Individually, corporately, we're out there trying to, again, to present the gospel every opportunity we're given. And we're out there to try to let people see Christ. We are his hands and we are his feet right here in this community. So it's important for us to be involved in the community and showing people that. We also need to have a willingness to grow in Christ, both corporately and individually. We need to have a willingness to obey Christ's command that we just read about and make disciples. Well, the question, though, is, do we have the right attitude? Do we have an attitude of growth and that growth is important? Or do we have the attitude toward growth that sometimes it's just an inconvenience? And I think that happens with folks sometimes. You know, we get comfortable. We get accustomed to things the way they are. And so new people coming in, changes, all those things can make us uncomfortable. And they go against that whole convenience thing for us. But it's not about us. As we sung about earlier, it's not about us. You know, what does that look like? Well, we may have to give up our parking spot. We may have a certain spot that we park in every week, and we get here early so we can get that spot. Well, we get here one week and somebody took it, and maybe a new person, because they didn't know. Your name wasn't on it, and they figured it was open to anybody. And we get upset about that. We also get upset about if somebody takes our seat right here in the worship area. You know, I've been around church a long time, and I know very well that people sit in about the same location every week. You know, I could walk around this room with it empty, and I'm sure Pastor Jeff could do the same, and we could kind of say, well, so-and-so usually sits right here, and we know that. But you know, it's hard to believe, but let me tell you something about Christians. We get upset sometimes if that seat's not available. Now, I think you can all take a look if you'd like, but I don't think our names are on the back of any of these chairs. And it's important for us to understand that if we want to have the attitude toward growth that we need to have, is that we need to be looking for opportunities to give our seat away. Here's what happens. 8:30 in the morning, the room is kind of dark. Everybody, most of the people are in here. Some visitors may come in late. Because, see, visitors don't necessarily like to get here real early because they don't even know if we're nice people. And so they'll get here late, and they'll come in and sit down and check us out. That happens every week. I don't know if you're aware of that, but we have a number of visitors in the room this morning. We have visitors every week that come and just check out the church. Well, they stand at that door, and if you can imagine 200 and some people standing up in the dark, and they look around, they said, there's nowhere to sit. Now, I can look out, and there's plenty of seats, but they can't see them from where they are at on Sunday morning. And so it's hard. They may have a husband and wife and a couple kids. And yeah, there's two seats here or three seats there or one seat there. But they'd like to sit together. You know, that's kind of what especially visitors like to do because they don't know anyone. Well, the question is, do we have the right attitude? Are we looking for an opportunity to give up our seat? Because you see, we know each other. So it wouldn't be no big deal for Chuck and Kelly to move over here next to somebody that they know. They wouldn't mind. And they wouldn't mind doing that. But are we watching for that? Are we looking for that opportunity? Or are we taking the attitude, this is my seat, and I'm not moving? Yeah, I realize there's four seats in the middle of the row, but I'm not scooting down because this is my seat. I've had people tell me that. In churches, I've had people tell me that this is their seat, and nobody's going to tell me where I can sit. So I know that's hard to believe in the church world, but that it happens. We tried to solve this problem in one way by blocking off the last row back there. And, of course, there were people that was their seat as well. And we blocked it off, not so that they couldn't sit there. We blocked it off so that right before the service starts, we could open it up for people who were coming in at the last minute, and they wouldn't have to go scrambling trying to fit two people here and two people there. So we did that, and you can't believe this. People got mad at us for that. People got so mad at us, they wouldn't even come in. And that happens in the church. You see, we don't have the right attitude sometimes about church growth. Instead, we need to be looking for ways in which we can give our seat to someone else and we can go sit in a different location because we know that those seats are always open. Nobody wants to sit in certain spots, so we can go over there. And I know next week everybody's going to be watching and everybody's going to be shuffling around looking for a place to go. But you know, it's all about a first impression. And you've heard this said before, that you only have one chance to make a good first impression. Because if you blow it the first time, it's no longer the first impression, maybe the second or the third. But you only have one opportunity. That's why we have tried to set up the greeting ministry, to have people so that it wasn't just Jeff or me outside there greeting people every week. We have others standing there and greeting people, holding doors for people with a smile on their face. I've always said that to be part of that ministry, all you have to be willing to do is be there, smile, put your hand out and shake somebody's hand and say, thanks for coming or welcome. We're glad you're here. But that's part of that first impression, the check-in people, the check-in our kids. That's huge. Parents with little children, especially visitors, they look at that and they look in that room. They're checking it all out because, you know, they're going to leave precious little Billy for the first time away from them in a strange place with strange people. Yeah, we are strange people sometimes. But you know what? That's why it's so important for them to have smiles on their faces and be people who look like it's somebody you'd want to leave your kids with. And as long as I'm on that topic, just to let you know, we do have a fully staffed nursery, toddler ministry, children's ministry, every service. So if you're coming and you have kids and you bring them in and they, you know, it's hard for them to sit here for 90 minutes or 75 minutes or 75 minutes probably, is whatever it is. It's hard for them to do that. So I hope that you can trust our people. They've all been background checked. They're good folks. They're back there waiting for your kids. And so hopefully you'll trust us enough to do that. And that way you can come in and worship God without any other distractions. You can totally put your mind and your focus into God. So we want to be a friendly and a welcoming church. That's our goal. And you are very much a part of that. It's not just up to Jeff and I to make that happen. It's all of us. So it is important for us to have the right attitude when it comes to church growth. It's not an inconvenience. It's a blessing that God keeps bringing his people here. And we need to look at it that way. The second thing is our resources. And I know that you're thinking, okay, here it comes. You know, resources, money. That's what we're going to talk about now. It always happens in church. Every time I go, they want to talk about money. Well, I think you know us better than that. If you're here very much, we very seldom talk about it. And I'm not even going to talk much about it here. First thing that we need resource-wise is building. And over the past couple of years, hopefully you've walked around and you can see some of the changes. We've doubled the size of our classrooms to be able to handle the amount of kids that we have now. We've remodeled our nurseries. We've remodeled other rooms. We've built kinds of neat things back there for our kids. We've spent a lot of time and energy, a lot of volunteer time making this happen. And we appreciate all those who have stepped up and helped us in this endeavor. And then we started to add another wing. We did that. We completed that and paid for it. It's all paid for. But obviously, speaking the next step, you all know it's coming. Now you see steel outside, so that means it's even closer, Jeff, to coming. And Tuesday morning, Jeff is going to be here with his guys, and they're going to be putting up steel beams, and they're going to start this process of bumping out this glass wall. And when they do, when we're done, it will give us the capability of having another 150 chairs if we want them, a baptistry, so that we can actually watch people be baptized right here, not have to drive over to Assembly of God, even though we appreciate what they're doing for us. But they'll be able to watch it right here, and we are so excited about that. But here's the deal. We're going to bump this out. We're going to enclose it, and that process, I've been told, is going to take about a month to enclose that building out there. And then now we're at the next step. And Brett is a treasurer of the church and part of the council, and the council are starting to put together a team of people that are looking at ways in which we can raise the money to finish the building. Because I'm going to be perfectly honest with you folks, and I know I'm speaking for Jeff as well, Jeff Ziegler, and I think for Jeff Atkins as well. But what I'm saying is this, is that what our dream is that when they finish enclosing that room, that they can just continue right on working until that building is done, until we are in there, and until we have the space we need to handle the growth that God's sending to us. And we can worship together, baptize while everybody sees it, and really enjoy that resource of a building without ever having to stop and wait. And so that's where you come in. Sure, there's money. There's money in everything in this world. It takes money to hire staff. It takes money to build buildings. It takes money to remodel buildings. Money is just a part of life. And so it will. But hopefully we can figure out a way to make that happen, because again, our goal is to try to do this and pay for this without going into debt. That's the goal. And we hope that people come along and get excited about this with us so that we can accomplish that goal. But we need to get it done once we start. We need to get that ready so that we can continue on building this church and God building the church and us handling the people that God's bringing our way. You know, the worst thing that can happen to you is you share the gospel with somebody. We hope to God this never happens to you, to where you share Christ with a coworker, and they're excited. They see you excited. And the question naturally leads to, well, where do you go to church? Well, I go to First Church of God in La Porte. Well, maybe I'll come and visit. And you say, well, I don't know, because we're kind of crowded right now. There's not many parking spots, and it's hard to find a seat. So you might want to try church X, Y, or Z down the street, because it's hard now, right now at our church. You know, we don't ever want you to be, I know that's kind of facetious, but we don't ever want to have that stop someone from coming here to learn more about God, to worship him, to be part of this family. So we don't ever want something like that to happen. So the bottom line is we need to have the right attitude toward growth, and we need the resources to do what God has given us to do. And that's part of it. So attitude and resources are important. We move on to why is it important for us to grow individually in Christ? See, I've been talking about corporate growth, church as a whole. But the question now is, why is it important for us to grow individually? You know, can you imagine a child that is born, and let's say on formula, or a mother's feeding the child, and that's the way it goes. Because the kid likes the formula. They like it, okay. They're busy crawling around, getting into stuff, getting into trouble, and they don't really have time for growing up. Because then what comes with growing up? Responsibilities, rules, things we have to do. They'd rather just stay a baby forever. But you see, that happens in the church. That happens with us. And people don't grow up. And unfortunately, from a church standpoint, that's not a good thing. We all need to be growing. Just like that child progresses to every level, we as believers need to do the same thing. In Peter, it says, like newborn babies, crave pure spiritual milk, so that by it you may grow up in your salvation, now that you have tasted that the Lord is good. Another passage comes out of the book of Ephesians, and Paul writes, then we will no longer be infants, tossed back and forth by waves and blown away here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of men in their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will in all things grow up into him who is the head, that is Christ. For him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its own work. So why is it important that we grow in Christ individually? Well, one thing is it's important so that we can be an active part in going out and reaching the lost, as Jeff spoke about last week. We need to be where we should be in order to go out and tell others about Christ. We need to be obedient to Christ's command that we read about in Matthew, to go and make disciples. Why should we do that? Why is that important to be obedient to God's command? So that we can help train others to go seek the lost, so that we can be better equipped to handle the pressures of life. We need to have that strong root, that strong foundation as believers. So it's important for you to grow in Christ so that you can have that firm foundation, so that you can handle whatever it is that God sends your way. If I had a dollar for every time I've heard these words from someone, we could build that building. And that is that, you know, when going through tough times and they're looking and talking to someone or talking about a situation, and they'll make the statement, I don't know how anybody goes through this without Christ in their life. Have you ever heard that? People use that all the time. And that's because they know of the importance of having a firm foundation in Jesus so that they can handle whatever God sends their way. Whatever struggles in life, whatever troubles they may go through, they have a firm foundation. We read about that in the wise and the foolish builders in Matthew 7:24. It says, therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who builds his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against the house, yet it did not fall because it had its foundation was on rock. Solid foundation. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who builds his house on the sand, and the same rain comes down, streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against the house, and it fell in the great crash. Our life, without that firm foundation, which comes through our spiritual growth, will collapse under pressure. We need to understand that it is important for us to grow spiritually. How do we grow spiritually? Okay, you say, okay, I agree with you. I give in. I need to grow spiritually. How do I do it? Well, first and foremost, is we need to be a people who are in the Word of God on a regular basis. We are not going to become strong in the faith if we're not reading the Bible and understanding what it has to say. We also need to have an active prayer life. We need to be praying on a regular basis, not just for God to gimme, 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 but to pray to God in thanksgiving for what He's already given you, praying that He will give you opportunities to seek the lost, praying that He will give you the discernment and the knowledge in order to be discipled. Our prayer life is important, and so is reading the Word. So is studying the Word with others, a small group or a mid-sized group or whatever you may be involved in. But coming together with other believers and studying God's Word it goes a long ways to help you grow spiritually. Yes, and by attending church, by being part of this worship service on a regular basis and worshiping together with our family. We are told in the Bible that we are not to forsake coming together. So it's important. If we can be here, we need to be here. It'll just help you. It's you're coming to get food, to get fed, so that you can grow spiritually. It's part of the process, and it's important, and it should be important to all of us. We also grow by serving others. I think when you get involved in service, you grow in great ways. I tell people in a grief group that one of the things that they could do to help themselves grieve the loss of someone is by going to help someone else, because that goes a long ways in helping them. We all need to be involved in serving. We talked about that a few weeks ago. We all need to be using our gifts to serve in some way, whatever that way is, whatever God's led you to do. But we do need to serve others. Why? Because we love others. We serve others because we love God. We serve others because we love one another. And it's important for us to have that love of each other. So we love those people who are hurting in this community, who need help. So we don't mind going and serving at the Salvation Army soup kitchen. We don't mind going down and helping the Women's Care Center when they need volunteers. We do that because we love one another. And that's important for us to be willing to do that. And the bottom line is that by making God, this process of growing needs to become a priority in your life. So the question we have to ask ourselves is spiritual growth a priority in your life? If not, what is? What's important in your life? What's more important in your life, what's more important in my life than growing spiritually? I don't know. I can't think of too much. It's important for us, and we need to have that mindset. If we don't make this process a priority, then we will not grow spiritually. We will remain as a baby on formula, and we will wonder why we have such a hard time getting through life and the problems that come forward. So I challenge all of us to be doing that, to be finding ways to grow spiritually. What happens to a church that is not growing? Because if we don't grow spiritually, there are consequences to that. We will have the lack of resources that we need to do the work that God has given us to do. You see, God has sent us things to do. God has given us responsibility, and it takes those resources to accomplish that. But if people aren't growing spiritually, they won't volunteer. They won't give. They won't help. They won't do any of those things because they're not growing spiritually. So it's important for us to be able to make sure that in order for us to handle what God's given us to do, that we are growing. One of which is people, obviously. We can't say enough about that. We need people. I'm not saying we need people in attendance, that's great, but we need people who go from just church attenders to people who are serving God. We need that to happen. And then if this doesn't happen, the church will start to decline. And eventually, the church may die. And what happens then is the impact that we have in the community will die along with us. And when the community says, well, we can depend on the La Porte First Church of God because they always help us out. Oh, wait, they're not there. And they will feel that impact. Our community will feel the impact of our loss. If the community does not feel the impact of our loss, then we weren't very effective in the community. The next thing is, what happens to a church when we grow individually in Christ? This is the good news, so let's talk about that for a minute. We are better equipped to handle the growth that God is giving us because God will continue to bless us with what we need. I'm a firm believer in that. I'm a firm believer that if the church is lacking in some spiritual gift or someone to help in a certain thing, that God will bring us people. As long as we're doing our part, as long as we're helping to make disciples and seek the lost, if we are, God will continue to do that. He will continue to grow us because he wants us to continue to do what we're called to do, which is go out and share the gospel and do that in every opportunity we have. Also, what will happen is we'll make that impact in the community. We'll make the impact in the world, and that is something that we should strive for. You know, none of us, not very many people in this room have been to Jacmel, Haiti, and we have Jean-Claude here talking about that. Not too many of you have been there. But the money that you give toward that ministry is going a long ways to help kids be fed, kids teaching, teachers that are teaching children over there in this third world country. So you have an impact, even though you don't necessarily see it all the time, you're having a big impact on the world, and I think that's important for us. Also, God will continue to give us more people, and that's what we want. Not so that we can be the biggest church in town, not so we can say, well, you know, we're a church of 1,000 people, 500 people. And even pastors get caught up in all this. You know, we go to seminars and things like that, and you meet a new guy, and you look at him, and the first question is where are you from? And you tell him, so what size, what kind of attendance are you running? That's kind of the questions. It's not about that at all. It's not about numbers. It's the fact, though, is those numbers represent servants. Those servants represent people who want to be discipled to go out and to talk about the gospel of Jesus Christ, and we're right back at that seeking the lost in love. That's why it's important for us to continue to grow in that. And the cycle just continues on and on and on. Isn't that exciting? That long after we're dead and gone, because of what the foundation is here now, lives will continue to be touched and changed. That's exciting. It should be for all of us. This whole process of life change, heart change, and how we can affect it should send chills down our spine. It should be what really turns us on in life, is being a servant of Jesus Christ. And finally, we are to grow in love. Why? Because God commands us to. And because we should desire to be more like God. Because we love one another and want to see the best for them. We want others to know Christ so that they too can seek the lost. So let's do what God has called us to do, folks. We are the church. The church is the people, not this building. We are the church. So let us do what God has called us to do. Let us go. Let us seek the lost. Let us make disciples so that we can seek the lost, so that we can make disciples, so that we can seek more lost and make the disciples. That's the process that God wants us involved in as a church. And so from our standpoint, as we wrap this two-week study up, everything we do here, every decision we make, we want to make it through that lens. Are we seeking the lost? Are we making disciples? And in the process, are we loving people? And if that doesn't fit into that, then we're probably not going to want to do it. It needs to be, those three things need to be covered in that. So I challenge you to go in your faith and grow, continue to seek those around you, and love everyone that God places in your path. Let's pray. Father God, I just thank you for the blessings that you've bestowed upon all of us, for the gifts you've given us, for the challenges that you've laid before us, both as a church and individually. I pray this morning, Lord, that everybody that's here hears your word. This is your message. This is what you want us to do. This is the Great Commission. I pray, Father, that we can make growing up in Christ a priority in our life. Because, Lord, if we're not making growing up in Christ a priority in our life, most likely we're making something else a priority in our life. Because we all have priorities. We all find things to pour our time into and our money into, our talents into. The question is, Lord, are those things really making a difference in the world we live in? And when we're dead and gone, will those things continue to make a difference in the world we live in? That's what's important. So, Lord, when we think that we know someone that doesn't know you, and that maybe if we don't share with you, we really miss out on the opportunity. You may find someone else to drop that seed and plant that seed, but, Lord God, it could be us. I pray that you will give us the desire to do that. And then, Lord, I pray that you give us the desire to be involved in a church that's making disciples. Pray, Father, that each one of us will want to get off the milk and get to the meat of the word, understand what you want us to do, and move ahead